We at First EPC believe that the Bible is God's truth, that it's living, it's active, it's the only infallible way of faith and practice, uniquely and fully inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we need to know what it says, and we need to believe what it says. Our scripture this morning comes out of the second letter of Peter, way in the small end of the New Testament, almost to the end. Third chapter, going to read to you verses 8 through 14. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy, godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt with heat in the heat. But in keeping with His promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your truth. And sometimes it seems hard to understand. Sometimes it seems harsh to hear. We pray for your Holy Spirit, Lord, to move within us and among us and teach us in this moment. Teach us your truth, your word for us. Help us, O God, to apply this into our own life, into our own need, into our own heart. O God, create within us that miracle of growing, even as we sang this morning, from glory into glory, one degree of glory to another, into your image, O God. Into your image. Build us, O God. Build us as a church. Build us as individuals. We want to be your people in every way. Minister to us in this moment. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I read a story some time back about a fellow who was listening to a tiny little 150-watt radio station in West Texas. If you've ever been to West Texas, 25 miles is not very far, and that's about how far this radio station would go. So it might be from city limit to city limit of some little spot in the road out there. Every morning, this local announcer would get on that radio, and he would start his show by yelling into the microphone, "Hello, world." How often do we think of the world in terms of little circles like that? Like I said, 25 miles maybe at most. How often do we spend our time and cast our vision in little circles, little groups, with relatively a few amount of years involved, as if that's all that really matters? You know, there is a bigger picture. And Peter's words in this passage this morning were to followers of Christ. It wasn't to the world out there. These were believers. These were people who God had called into His church. And they were growing. They were maturing. They were becoming the people of God that He needed in that moment, the church that He needed in that moment. And that they were a decided minority in their world. And these followers wondered why God allowed some things to happen, some bad things that were happening around them. They struggled with God's sovereignty when so much of their world was unjust and seemingly sinking deeper and deeper in sin. That's not unfamiliar with the world you and I live in. And Peter's word to them, there's a bigger picture. You're not seeing the whole thing. You need to take a look from God's perspective. Because God is in control. And possibly if you could just see the big picture, you might understand that. But in the meantime, Peter says, live holy and godly lives, looking forward to the day of God. And then he tells us, and that's what I love about this Bible, he tells us how to live holy and godly lives, looking forward to the day of God. And one of the first things, first concept at least, that he teaches us is that we need to think in terms of eternity. In terms of eternity, not in just tomorrow. You know, we tend to think in terms of now, don't we? Well, some maybe think in terms of yesterday, but we need to think in terms of eternity. What's happening out in the future? Way out there. What's the big picture? We see the mundane details of our life as urgent, do or die. And while we live in an instant gratification world, that kind of thinking will lead us to make wrong choices based on what we think or we need or must have or have a right to. And the truth is that most of the problems you and I have are not a matter of life and death. I like what Dean Smith, who was the former basketball coach at the University of North Carolina, once said. This guy had, you know, he holds all kinds of records in winning and winning and winning. He says, if you make every game a matter of life and death, you'll be dead a lot. That's pretty good. In order to keep things in perspective, we should condition ourselves maybe to ask the following questions. Will this make a difference in 100 years? For most of the things we allow ourselves to get all stressed out about, the answer would be, obviously, no, not really. In 100 years, will it matter if the waiter messes up your order? Really? Will it matter what kind of car you drive? Will it matter if you don't make this sale? Will it matter if someone is rude to you, you know, steps on your parade today? Will it matter if the Commanders have a losing season? Again, will these things matter in 100 years? Will they matter in 50 years? Think about it. Most of what we get all worked up about won't really matter. Won't really matter. On the other hand, if you share Christ's love with somebody, will that matter? Will that matter? If you take time to disciple a new believer or encourage someone or maybe give financially to a worthy cause, will that make a difference? The answer is obvious. While there are many things that you and I do that have no eternal significance, there are other areas of our lives where we have the opportunity to make an eternal difference. a difference that will last forever. And as we go about our daily business, as we do those mundane things, we need to get into the habit of thinking in terms of eternity, the bigger picture, not just that small upset or that small bump in the road. Or maybe it's a pretty big bump at this moment, but how big? Peter said in verse 8, do not forget this one thing. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Now, these words remind us that there's a big picture, you see. The few years that we're here on this earth, that small little moment, that small little circle of where we live, of the influence that we have, only a tiny part of all that is. And we kind of need to remember not to overplay our importance. Yeah, really. Can it go on without you? Probably. Can this happen without you? Sure. You know, there's none of us that are so important that, you know, everything hinges and circles around us. None of us. And learning to see things from God's perspective involves learning to think in terms of eternity, of the long picture, the long game. That the world, the team, the church, the job doesn't revolve around me. Revolves around God and His plan and His purposes. There's more to life than money and possessions and status and fame. There's an eternal aspect. Eternal aspect. And we dare not ignore it. You know, the second thing that Peter's trying to push to us to realize in this passage is we need to live in the moment. Now, first let me say that's not a contradiction. It's not a contradiction. What Peter says, 1,000 years are like a day. What else does he say? With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. The moment. We must think of life in terms of eternity, but that doesn't mean we become so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good, as the saying goes. Every day is packed with eternal significance. There's opportunities that happen moment by moment by moment, which have eternal significance, not just temporary significance. And here's the crucial distinction. We must learn to live in the moment and not for the moment. You see that? Living for the moment can be summarized in the statement, you know, let us eat and drink and be merry, for what? Tomorrow we die. Living in the moment can be summarized by Paul's statement, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. In verses 10 through 13, Peter tells us how the world will end. Not a pretty picture. He says there will be fire and the heavens will be laid bare and the earth will be destroyed. And the truth is, we don't know exactly when this is going to happen. And we don't really know all the details of how it's going to happen. Could be tomorrow. Could be a million years from now. There's no way of knowing. But Peter is telling us how we need to live in the moment. In the meantime. The between time. In verse 11, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? Then he answers it. You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God. And he goes on down in verse 14. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. What's Peter saying? He's saying we live in the moment and not for the moment. Live every day, every moment, as you can, as if it counts for eternity. Every day matters. Every moment of every day matters. And you and I are called to live our lives in sort of that responsive urgency. As we face issues in the coming days and months and years, we need to learn how to live in that moment and not for it. How can I honor God in this moment? How can what I'm doing be in keeping with His Word? When things don't go your way, when things seem to be breaking down all around, how can I honor God in this? How can I live in keeping with His Word in this? You know, we need to kind of develop that attitude that says that every day is a gift from God. It's a day of grace. And say to ourselves, I'm going to strive to live like it matters for all eternity. Because it does. It does. How should we live? What should we do? Well, first, focus your attention, your mind on eternal things, the bigger picture. And then live in the moment and not for the moment. And then finally, prepare yourself for the best. Because you know, the best is yet to come. Now, sometimes we have trouble believing that. But the best is yet to come. Most of us are pretty good at preparing for the worst. We buy insurance for our health, for our cars, for our home. We lock doors, we install alarms, we have smoke detectors and radar detectors and computer virus detectors. We back up our hard drives, we fill our basement with bottled water and canned food. We put away money for a rainy day. We buy cars with airbags and seat belts and grab the longest warranty that we can possibly find. Isn't that all true? It's kind of crazy how some people even meet the man or woman of their dreams and then draft prenuptial agreements, you know, just in case there's a nightmare down the road. Sometimes we even carry an umbrella on a sunny day, just in case, just in case. Most of us know how to prepare for the worst. And of course, some things are prudent. However, if all you do is prepare yourself for the worst, you're going to miss the big picture. You need to also believe that God's involved. And you need to trust His promises and prepare yourself for the best, because His promises are for the best. Jesus says, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly, not barely, not miserably, abundantly, to the full, to the full. Negative thinking people often miss the point of the passage that Peter has here. They focus on the fire and the destruction that he mentions, but not on the main point. And the main point is in verse 13, in keeping with His promise, God's promise, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. Wow, okay, that's better. No more fire and destruction and brimstone and all that other stuff. That's, yep, okay. New earth, new heaven, the home of righteousness. It's going to be a good place, right? Now, Peter says that someday there's going to be an end to this world, and it's going to be a messy end, no doubt. But listen to the rest of the story. Don't stop there. There's going to be a new beginning. There always is a new beginning with God. Always. You and I, we can't live forever. You know, we're going to live one day in the presence of Jesus. What a deal. What a blessing. We're going to experience eternal life and eternal joy and eternal peace. We need to get ready for that. We need to get ready for it. The best is yet to come. Let me ask you a question. If God blessed you beyond your wildest dreams right now, would you be ready? I mean, think about it. You may say, Lord, I need, but what if He gave you all those things? Would you be ready? If He begins to bless your finances, are you ready to handle the increase? Really? You know how many stories, tragic stories, do we hear of people who win the lottery? And then their whole life goes to pot. If you're single, and he brings that man or woman of your dreams into your life, are you prepared for the responsibility of such a relationship? You think about it. If God decides to increase your ministry, are you prepared to do it? Are you willing to take the step? Whatever He's asking you to do or wherever He's asking you to go. You know, if you want to experience God's best, you have to prepare yourself to receive God's best. And sometimes we're not ready. We read over and over in the Bible how God wants to bless our lives, give us peace, prosperity, happiness, fulfillment, so many other wonderful things. I mean, God is for us. There's no question about it in Scripture. But we live as if we're not really sure or expect it's going to happen. Well, maybe. And we act as if it's going to happen because we're going to make it happen. It's up to me, right? God helps those who help themselves. What chapter and verse is that? Do you know? Not there. But we quote it all the time, don't we? Living the holy, godly lives. That's what God calls us to do. And it means that we live our lives reflecting God's truth that He has great things in store for us. And this life that we live and the life to come, we're going to be blessed in all of that. We prepare ourselves for good things that He wants to give us. And that's a message that Peter's trying to give that first century church and that God's trying to give to us. Because things haven't really changed all that much. Today we face all kinds of challenges in our life. You know, spiritual, political, physical. What should we do? How should I react? How should I live my life? What steps should I take? Regardless of what the negative people say, the Bible plainly teaches that our future is bright. No matter what you think is going on, God's saying your future is bright if you'll follow Him, if you'll hook your wagon on Him, if you'll do what He says. And that doesn't really, you know, we've got all kinds of doomsayers around who they're always going to be doomsayers. But God is not the author of confusion. God is not the author of fear. His perfect love casts out fear. It's the thief who comes to steal and kill and destroy. Let's make sure we have the players right. That's not God. It's the thief. Now, sometimes we help the thief out and we do stupid things and we get ourselves in bad places. God's right there. God is right there. I will never leave you or forsake you. The saying goes, we may know not what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow, right? We can face tomorrow with hope. We can face tomorrow with optimism. We can face tomorrow with promise, not because some politician promises it or not because somebody says, oh, you can have this and this and this and this and this. We hear that all the time, don't we? But because God promises it. Because God says, I'm going to be with you every step of the way. Even when we face setbacks. Even when we face challenges. Maybe especially when we face those challenges. He is with us. And ultimately, you, me, we'll be in His presence forever. I mean, think about that. We'll be in the presence of God forever. I mean, I can't get my mind around that. It just, my mind's not very big. You know, it's a little pea brain. It just won't go around that. I just want to be like that radio announcer. And I just want to shout, hello, world, you know. My big world. Until that day comes, though, God's challenging us all to keep our minds fixed and our eyes fixed on the big picture. Think of things in terms of eternity and not just in the mundane moment. Live in the moment, but not for the moment. And always and in faith, prepare yourself for God's best. Always. Now, take that new job. Climb that mountain. Get serious about your health. Fight off temptation again. Don't worry. Be happy. God is always, always, always in control. And as Peter says, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. Let's pray together.